Look at you. In Nigel's family, they put their Christmas tree up on December the 4th because that's his little sister's birthday. That's their tradition. My family, we moved about a lot. We really didn't have traditions from year to year, but now Nigel and the boys and April and I, we have a tradition. We've had it for about the last 4 to 5 years. Under the Christmas tree, each Christmas morning, is a sassy t-shirt, a bit like this one. Sorry, Nigel, that's not the one you're getting this year. So turn to your neighbour and talk for a minute about the traditions your family has at Christmas. Now, if you're new or you don't know anyone and you're a bit shy, tell yourself, remind yourself of your traditions. Otherwise, I want to hear a lovely hum as you talk about your Christmas traditions. Off you go. Oh, I have to say, that is quite a hum. Can you actually hear what each other's saying? Fabulous. Quite a hum. Hey, at the picnic after church, feel free to continue the conversation. So today, the 3rd of December, around a number of the churches in the city, and in fact, around a number of the churches in this country, and even around the world, a very ancient Christmas tradition starts. For hundreds of thousands of churches, and for millions of Christians, today is the beginning of the season of Advent. Now, hands up if you have Advent calendars each year. Yeah. How many of you actually don't need the excuse of a little child to get yourself one and have the chocolates? Yeah. Some of you will be asking, but what is Advent? The word literally means coming. In fact, Advent sounds very much like adventure because they come from the same root word. When I say we're going on an adventure, there's a thrill of excitement, isn't there? Some expectation and anticipation. And that's what the season of Advent is. It's the thrill of expectation. Something is coming. Now, Advent is so much more than chocolate Advent calendars. They're great, but it's so much more. You see, Advent, the season, is when we count down to the coming of God the Son, Jesus Christ. We call this moment in history the incarnation, when God the Eternal Son put on flesh. That's what incarnation means. He put on flesh. He had left heaven for our sake. He came into our sinful world. He put on flesh and lived as one of us. Now that's scandalous, that God would do that. But you see, this isn't the only coming that we remember at Advent. We don't just remember what happened over 2,000 years ago. There's another coming that we remember at Advent. See, 2,000 years ago, that happened in the past. There's a coming that is happening in the future. See, 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked with us. He lived amongst us. People saw him and people hated him. This coming of God's Messiah, the people of Israel had hoped for this for years, hundreds of years, a Messiah who was going to come, a descendant of King David, who came as a baby, and not a royal baby, but a baby born into poverty. A savior that Israel's prophets had told was coming. We heard part of this verse earlier. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and of peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. That is the first remembering of Advent, when Jesus came in the past. Then there is the future dimension, the last remembering of Advent, Jesus coming again. Now, just as the people of Israel waited impatiently for their Messiah to come, we Christians, we followers of Jesus, we wait impatiently for Jesus to come again. See, we look at the pain and the brokenness in our world and we remember that Jesus is coming again. He is coming to usher in a new heaven and a new earth. We read this in Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven, a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look! God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Hallelujah. So the first coming and this future coming, they're visible. We can see them with our eyes. People saw Jesus 2,000 plus years ago walking around. They saw him as he taught. They saw him die, and they saw him rise again from the dead. Now, just as they saw him 2,000 years ago, in the future, we will see Jesus when he returns in triumph at the end of time. We will look on him who was pierced for our transgressions, for our sins, who was pierced for the salvation of the world, and we will worship him. Isaiah 45:23, "For I am God, says the Lord, and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all truthfulness a word that can never be taken back. Before me every knee shall bow. By me every tongue will confess." Revelation. Chapter 5, verse 13, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. How magnificent. Does that thrill you? Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. People, you and me, we as followers of Jesus, we are the saints who will be singing our guts out, praising our God. And we are going to sound good. Now, I know there are some of you here that actually really hate singing in church for a range of reasons. Some of you are really shy about your voices, but I tell you, a time is coming when you will sing your praises to God and Kiritakanoa won't hold a candle to how good you're going to sound. This is the future that Advent reminds us of, that in the midst of the crazy and the busy and the worry and the pain, Advent calls us, actually it forces us, to remember that Jesus is coming again. Stop for a moment, think about that. To Advent, it reminds us of the past coming of Jesus. It reminds us of the future coming of Jesus. But there is another coming that is important for us to remember in Advent. It's a coming that is occurring right now, every day. Those other ones, past and future, people will see those. But this one is hidden. It's invisible. It's only able to be seen by those of us who call Jesus our Lord and Savior. In the past, Jesus came in flesh and in weakness. In the future, he's coming in power and glory. In the present, he comes in spirit and in power. Can you guess what the present coming is? It is Jesus at work in our lives, minute by minute, day by day. It is Jesus incarnate in the flesh, in us, living in us, changing us from the inside. So day by day, we become more like him, sticking with us in our highs and our lows. It's Jesus whispering in his small voice, you are mine, and I love you. It's his laugh bubbling out of us as we delight in his beautiful creation. It's his mercy and compassion bleeding out of us through our words and our actions to the people around us in need. It's his love flowing out of those who comfort us when it's our time of need. It's his spirit teaching us, comforting, guiding, and protecting us. Take a minute. How is Jesus alive in you right now? Think about that. See, Advent calls us to seek out how Jesus is acting in our lives today. We're encouraged in Advent to pause, to ask the Holy Spirit to show us what Jesus is doing. Many people in the season of Advent will start their day with a prayer, Holy Spirit, open my eyes and my ears so that I can see Jesus at work today. And many people will finish their day in Advent with another prayer and time of reflection, looking back at how Jesus acted in them and through them. In today's full-on, crazy, busy world, can you see why I'm excited about Advent? Now, we Baptists, we're pretty independent, aren't we? And Kiwi Baptists are even worse, let's face it. Number 8, why mentality, you can't tell me what to do attitude. We can be a little bit suspicious of what some other denominations do. You know, those Catholics and those Anglicans. They make a big deal out of Advent, and we can actually borrow a few of their ideas. Now, one of their ideas worth stealing, I mean borrowing, is using the 4 themes of Advent that we've already heard about. Hope, peace, joy, and love. These magnificent gifts that our Saviour gives us. Now, the gift of hope, it's not just the, oh, I really hope the Black Caps win, but it's the sort of hope that Paul describes in Romans 8. What then, people, shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, amen. From 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor powers, nor height or depth, nor anything else in all of creation, none of that will be able to separate us from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hope, what a gift we have. The gift of peace. And I'm not just talking the peace and quiet after the kids have finally fallen asleep, but the peace that comes from the hope we have as followers of Jesus. Philippians 4 verses 6 to 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a great scripture? The gift of joy, not just the joy we will feel if the Black Caps actually win, but the deep joy that stays with us at all times because of the faith we have in Jesus. The joy that bubbles out of Peter as he writes in 1 Peter, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and you are filled with an inexpressible, a glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Joy down in my heart, all right. Now, the gift of love. Now, I'm not talking finger hearts, you know. I'm not just talking this, but I'm talking about the love that changes you from the inside out. The love that drives you to love strangers. The love that makes you brave enough to give the best gift you can give anyone. The good news of Jesus Christ. A love that makes us right with God. Paul again in Colossians 1, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, all things, whether things on earth or in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. See, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy, holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. What love is this? A love that makes us brave. Listen to what Paul says in Acts. And now, compelled by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship is facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race, to complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Can you say that? I'm going anyway, not knowing what's going to happen to me. Hardships are coming, but I'm going anyway. I wish I could say that a lot more often than I do. Hope, peace, joy and love, these are great gifts. We receive them in abundance. This is a little tiny box. God's hope, grace, peace, joy and love, they are more than we can comprehend. So for Christmas tradition, some families will have an Advent wreath with 5 candles in, a little bit like this up here. And at some point each day, often during the evening meal, a candle will be lit. In the first week, the hope candle is lit. In the second week, you light the hope and the peace candle. And so on until the final day, Christmas Day, when you light the Christ candle to signify that the light has come into the world. So different traditions use different coloured candles. But this is how one of my Baptist friends does Advent with her preschoolers. She uses a different coloured candle for each of the themes. And I'm going to get you to take part in that this morning. So up on the screen, there are some questions, and you're going to respond in the bright yellow. So, what does the green candle remind us of? And what does that mean? What does the blue candle remind us of? And what does peace mean? It's pretty cool, eh? What does the yellow candle remind us of? And what does joy mean? What does the red candle remind us of? And what does that mean? It's a wonderful tradition, isn't it? So this set here, I'd love to gift that to a family in our church. Particularly if you're a sole parent. You might be raising your children by yourself, or you might be in a situation where your partner doesn't come to church. I'd love for you to take these candles home and use that tradition this Christmas. So, will you hold up these gifts, my friends? Hope, peace, joy, and love in your hands. Will you hold them through the next few weeks, turning them over in your prayer times? Will you walk towards Christmas with hope and peace and joy and love so that Christmas Day will really 100% be about Jesus, the reason for the season? Will you do that? But Helen, some of you are saying that's easy for you to say. I don't have hope in my hands. In my box, it's full of fear. It's full of insecurity. See, I don't have enough money to pay my bills. I've got to find a new place to live. My partner's drinking and drugging again. They're talking about layoffs at work. I'm sick. I'm struggling by myself at home, and I'm afraid my children will put me in a home. Fear is an unwanted gift for many people at Christmas. And if that's you, if that's the gift in your hands, I want you to remember the hope you have. Why? Because hope has a name. Have you met him? Helen, you talk about peace at Christmas. If you think Christmas is a time of peace, you obviously haven't spent enough time with my family. Wait till the drinking starts and then the fighting. Anxiety is another unwanted gift that many people have at Christmas. But my friend, remember the peace you have. Why? Because peace has a name. Can you hear him calling you? Helen, you talk about the gift of joy. Are you kidding me? Joy? My husband is gone. This is my first Christmas without Mum, and I miss her so much. I was supposed to be pregnant by now. Joy, are you kidding me? The loss of loved ones hits really hard at Christmas. If your unwanted gift this Christmas is grief, if your heart is bleeding this Christmas, then my heart goes out to you. My friend, we, your brothers and sisters, we will remember joy on your behalf until you can remember it again. Why? Because joy has a name and he knows you. Come on, team, music team. Helen, Helen, the gift of love. Love? I'm so lonely. When I look at this, there's nothing in there. Christmas is a day you spend with loved ones, but who loves me? My kids are miles away. I'm new to the city. I don't know anyone. If your unwanted gift this Christmas is loneliness, remember, love has a name. Love is a person, and that person is Jesus, and Jesus is here. He is drawing strangers together in his name, adopting all of us into his big family, making some of you brave enough to invite newcomers to your place on Christmas Day, making others of you brave enough to accept their invitation. Love has a name. Jesus Christ. Love has a name. And what a beautiful name it is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, team.